Alrighty, we are live.
Hello.
How's everyone doing today?
How's it going?
It's a fantastic day. It's just another beautiful day here in Prescott, Arizona. We are Tucker and the Beard.
I'm Tucker.
I'm the Beard. But well, you knew that already.
Yes.
So,
And if you didn't, hi.
Yeah.
Hello.
Also, you know, look at the screen.
Yeah, exactly.
So, we're back with another movie review.
Yes, we kind of switched it up this week.
That we did.
So we were discussing last week.
Yeah, we were going to attempt to go see the film Bad Times at the El Royale.
That was the plan, at least.
That was game plan number one.
But plans have a way of changing.
Yes.
Especially in life. Yes.
Of mice and men often go awry, as they say. And, well, it was a really long movie.
Yeah. What did you say, too?
We didn't have a lot of time. It's like 2 hours and 40 minutes.
2 hours and 40 minutes.
Nobody got time for that.
Did not have the time to do that. We tried.
Plenty of people do have time for it. We just didn't have time to do that.
When we were planning to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, it went out the window.
Things happened. So we came up with a new plan.
Yes.
A plan that I think is just as good.
If not better.
Yeah.
If not better. We were planning on watching this movie next week, but we switched it up and planned and watched it this week.
Yeah, so we went and saw the movie Halloween.
The new Halloween.
Another
2018.
2018 edition of Halloween. And then next week, you'll definitely want to tune in because we will be talking about our favorite scary movies.
Yeah, I think we said, you know, our top five scary / Halloween movies.
Yeah. Now, I do not know what his favorite scary movies are, and he does not know what my scary movies are. So we're going to surprise each other with that.
Yes, and I'm already can tell that they're going to be differing.
Almost certainly.
100% guarantee that there's going to be some differing things.
The Venn diagram of our favorite scary movies is going to be two independent circles.
Yeah, not even close. So for those who don't know me and are not aware, listen. I'm the disclaimer. It's not that I don't like scary movies. They're just not my, like, if you give me a scary movie and some other movie, I'm going to choose probably the other movie.
You would rather watch Twilight.
I have. I'm a happily married man, which means
I've seen all of them.
I have seen the Twilight movies.
Absolutely. So have I.
Listen, I'll put that disclaimer. There's worse things out there.
We've reviewed worse movies than Twilight.
Yes. So yes, I'm just not the avid horror scary movie watcher. I think
you handled yourself relatively well. You were kind of in a self-soothing pose for most of the film. I apologize if you're just listening to this instead of watching on the video, which you can find at facebook.com/ Tucker and the Beard. But you were kind of doing this.
Yeah, a soothing,
gentle rocking back and forth.
I'm calling it the "don't stab me in the neck" maneuver.
Your neck was fully protected by your fingers.
Fully protected, but I was not aware that I was doing that either.
That makes it even better,
right? I mean,
that it was subconscious.
I guess it was subconscious. It's, I mean, it's my soothing way of, you know, sitting in the corner, rocking myself, you know, rocking back and forth. Yeah. But I am not an avid scary movie watcher, but I'm not, you know, it's not that I never watch them or that I refuse to watch them and I can't handle it. It's, listen, we're both married men with kids. I have three little ones at home, so it's not like I go home and go, "Hey kids, what movie do you want to watch?
Let's toss on a slasher flick.
We got the new Pixar movie or Nightmare on Elm Street 28. I don't. You know, that's, I don't know enough. if there is that many.
It probably is. There's too many of those movies anyway.
Yeah.
Another day, though.
I've watched my fair share of, you know, scary movies, and, you know, I'm okay. So I was not overly excited to go watch this movie with you.
No, you weren't. And so I appreciate you being such a trooper.
Thank you.
Sticking it out for that whole Sting, and kind of doing it on the fly too.
What did do it on the fly?
I was like, hey, we need to get in the car and go to the theater. I don't know. Now.
Right. Because I think the previous, you know, thing that I had said to you before was, okay, to prepare myself for this movie, I'm going to watch the first one. Not only for a, you know, mental preparedness point of view, but also to remind myself of the story a little bit. Because I'd seen the first Halloween movie, but I think there's, you know, 10 in between. I don't know.
Well, you could probably... There's a whole thing.
Right, we'll get into it
on my phone.
A chart.
Let's break it down quick style for the people real fast so they know.
Right.
Kind of a little bit about the movie, and before I do that, as per usual, spoilers ahead. First of all, if you can't predict how this movie's going to end, you've obviously never seen a scary movie in your life.
Yes.
But if you don't want the dirty little details, I'd recommend coming back to this video or podcast when you have seen the film.
Yeah, please do. Going into spoilers, and we will be discussing some things. And, you know, for those that are not aware, and help me out on this one, because I'm going to, you know, more of the Halloween lore.
A little bit,
so to speak.
I'm not going to proclaim to be a super fan of the franchise.
Right.
But I've seen all of them.
Yeah. When people are like, hey, Mike Myers, and I'm like, yeah, he was awesome in Shrek.
Yeah, he was. See, and when I think Mike Myers, first of all, it's Michael. That's the biggest differentiating factor.
I rest my case.
Between the two is Mike Myers was on Saturday Night Live. And right. Michael Myers is a William Shatner mask-wearing psychopath who can't seem to die.
Yes.
So that's how you know the difference.
Right.
Nobody is calling Shrek Michael Myers.
Right. And because you just gave it away, the one little inch of Halloween trivia that I knew.
Okay.
That I tried to drop with you, you quickly...
You did. You're just, I was like,
I was cool story. I was so proud of myself that I could hang and drop some Halloween, you know, trivia.
Yeah.
And
so,
you, no hesitation.
Tell the people what you know.
My one bit of Halloween trivia was that when they selected the mask for Michael Myers, that they had taken a Halloween thing of Captain Kirk being William Shatner and had turned it inside out and essentially painted it. And, you know, shave the skin off. That was my one bit of...
painted it white.
And painted it... That was my one bit of Halloween trivia. And when I discussed this with you, you quickly put me in my place of, yeah, everyone knows that.
I genuinely believe that everyone does know that.
Yeah. It was one of those things I was really, really proud of. I'm like, I can hang with the beard now, knowing some Halloween trivia, but that's all I had. That's all I was bringing to the table. So yes, it had been a long time since I had seen the original Halloween movie, which was, if you want to give kind of 40 years ago.
Yeah. 1978.
Yeah. It was BT before Tucker.
It was also BB.
Before Beard.
Yes. Because Tucker is also BB.
Yeah. So a little bit of the backstory and kind of, I am old. So a little bit of the backstory of it is that it is he's 6 years old.
Yeah. When he's a small child,
Michael,
for reasons yet to be divulged that I can remember.
Right.
And again, not a super fan, but I have seen all the movies at one point or another. Even Halloween 3, which...
We don't talk about.
We don't talk about Halloween 3. But for some reason that we don't really know, he grabs a knife on
Halloween
October 31st, and he kills his older sister.
Okay.
And then he's locked away.
Right.
Because, well, he's a monster. That's right. What we do to monsters, right? You know, only to escape 14, from captivity.
14 years later?
14 years later.
Right.
And just wreak havoc upon his little town in Illinois.
Correct. And I think from the movie, he had killed 5 people that night, because it was 14 years to the day, being he comes back on Halloween.
That's correct.
Hence the name. and
it's a bad day for this time. I'm surprised they really do anything
right
on that day.
Anymore. I think let's shut it down just as a town general.
Well, there's an argument for not living in the past, you know, and just living your life.
Right.
You can't let fear control.
Which is a main driving force of the new Halloween movie.
They should maybe let fear control them just a little bit.
Though. A little bit.
You know, until they can actually, you know, put this guy to rest.
Right.
So to speak, you know, because he has a...
He's got issues.
First things first. Whatever correctional facility and correctional department is running the show there.
I'm disappointed.
In mythical Illinois land.
Right. Illinois land.
Why do y'all keep trying to transfer this dude on like his worst day of the year?
Just let it
be. We know that's his thing, right?
He enjoys some Halloween.
You should probably wait a day.
Yeah, just
see what happens. Because listen, every time you move this guy.
Listen, I've seen enough.
He gets away.
I've seen enough movies about transporting prisoners, Con Air, that you just don't. You know, you got to take precautions.
I think there's plenty of people who would be super grateful, you know, if Nick Cage had stayed on that plane.
All right, fair
enough. Like actual Nick Cage, surprise. We're locking you up for the rest of existence because we really need you to stop making movies.
Hey, you know what? That was his heyday. I'm not even going to knock it. But anyways, getting off Michael Myers, we can talk about Nicolas Cage some other time. So essentially the first movie is him coming back 14 years later, killing numerous people, putting on the Captain Kirk mask and going around killing five people.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the search for, what's her character's name? Jamie Lee Curtis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where does she fit into it?
Well, she was a target for, again, some reason that either was not divulged or that I can't remember, of Michael Myers in the original 1978 film, right? So,
Now, was she a babysitter or something?
Was
she?
And that was kind of the thing in the first one. He was killing babysitters.
It was...
You know, and as per 1978 horror movie films that have, for some reason, stuck around.
Right.
Movies that portray extreme violence have a really intense moral code. So promiscuous babysitters.
Which we did see.
In this new movie, they were relatively tame. I mean, there was some... They were making out, and that was enough to get that chick killed.
Right.
So be aware, if you live in a town that has a serial killer that just shows up...
Be good.
Yeah.
Just be good.
Keep it in your pants.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Promiscuity does not pay.
It's just a bad idea.
So
at the conclusion of that one, he gets locked up. He's about to get killed, and they...
He gets locked up.
This is where there's a fork in the road.
Yes. So I'm looking, if you're wondering why I'm playing on my phone. I don't know if you can even see it in the camera shot. I'm sure you can't, but I have a little infographic on my phone right now.
Right. What I'm looking at is three separate timelines.
One, two, three, four, five, seven. There's a total of
eight
Halloween films that have been created, and the timeline that most people... Nine, if you count three, which we don't. Right. So,
and I don't even know. I've seen the first one.
Michael Myers was not even in Halloween 3.
Right.
So that's why most super fans don't even count it in the quote-unquote canon.
Right.
So the main films, the most true timeline, starts with the first one in 78, and then there's Halloween 2, skipping 3, going to 4... Halloween 5, and then another iteration of Halloween. I believe that one was the Rob Zombie.
That was the last one prior to this one. So I've seen one.
Okay.
That's where you haven't
seen Halloween 2.
I might have, but
sure.
I don't, you know.
I get it.
I don't recall.
And then, of course, we have Halloween H2O.
I did see that one.
Which was a 20-year anniversary.
Was that the one with Busta Rhymes?
Is he on the...
I know that had Josh Hartnett.
No, that was Halloween Resurrection.
Okay, so I saw the one with Josh Hartnett and some Michelle Williams.
That was H2O.
Yeah.
That was H2O. And then, so this one kind of exists in its own timeline. And that's something that I think confuses a lot of people already.
I was
certainly
confused
you.
I was very confused.
So this film takes place in a timeline where at the end of Halloween 1...
And he gets locked up.
He gets locked up. Michael Myers gets locked up, and he stays locked up for 40 years.
Right. So this is a sequel to Halloween 1.
That's correct.
Which makes the fact that the other Halloween movies never happen.
Yes. In this timeline, the other films...
Which makes it really easy for me. Which makes it really, yeah. really easy for
it
me. I was able to track it.
You know, continuity standpoint... This is Halloween 2. This is a replacement for Halloween 2.
Right.
If you look at it that way, it's a little easier to track the events that are going on.
Right, and that made it easier for me because I had not seen 2 through whatever,
five and six
and the Rob Zombie. I hadn't seen those ones. I was able to track everything just fine.
Yeah.
It was,
and it really simplifies the timeline. I'll come right out and say it. I didn't hate this movie.
I didn't hate it. No.
Was it formulaic? Yes.
Right.
Was it predictable? Of course.
Yes.
Every movie like this is, but that's not why you go and... If you're going to see a film like this for a surprise ending, I've got bad news for you.
Right. There was some
This film has 99 problems, but a plot ain't one. Okay? We know how this movie is going to start and probably end...
Correct.
As soon as you hear that theme music.
Right. You're just buckling up for the ride.
Yeah, you're just waiting to see how it all unfolds, really.
Right. And so I will quickly kind of go... This movie, it was not... I'm not going to use the word scary. It was suspenseful.
It was tense.
Right.
There was a lot... It relied heavily on tension.
Right.
Almost from the first scene in the film where there's two... podcasters.
Right. Journalistic podcasters that decide to visit
Michael.
The asylum.
In his asylum as, I don't know, is that the PC word for those places now?
I
think they're just calling them
penitentiary.
No, he was in a hospital. They didn't call it a penitentiary.
Mental hospital. Yes.
And so they visit Michael Myers in his home.
Yes.
And he's out having his open air time, which consists of him being chained to a
block,
a cement block that obviously weighs several hundred pounds in a 10-foot by 10-foot square.
Right.
That's
which
painted
is,
on the ground.
It's a large courtyard filled with many inmates or
patients.
And in the center of it is this.
It's
you know, but they had these, you know, yellow squares that were around them that they were saying quickly, you don't
cross those lines.
Don't cross that. You can go up and, you know,
go up to the line,
interact.
If you
don't
cross that line, then basically they can get you.
Right. So,
Homeboy's got the mask. He's somehow acquired Michael Myers' mask.
Right. So I think leading up to it, they say that, you know, Michael Myers is the most fascinating specimen. He is not. Spoken.
He's not spoken a word in 40 years.
Yeah, he hasn't said a word. He won't interact with people. He won't do anything. So he just is there. He's just a shell.
Yeah.
And there's been plenty of scientists and doctors that have come in trying to study Michael to figure out why he is the way that he is and so on and so forth. So these journalistic podcasters are hell-bent on trying to... instigate him to say something.
They're drawing him out.
They are trying to get him to interact with them, and they manage to get their hands on or whatever the Captain Kirk mask.
The mask. Which is appropriately weathered at this point.
Yes, very. It's about 40 years old.
It looks like it's about 40 years old and been sitting in a box somewhere.
So they try to do that and... are yelling at him, say something, and opening credits.
Yeah. And also, surprise.
He doesn't say anything.
And that's a really bad idea.
it was just, I mean, from the get-go of just being like, hey, you know what? That guy's a serial killer.
Yeah.
He's got some issues. Let's try and piss him off.
Yeah, let's poke the bear, as right. they say. You know, so it cuts to the opening credits, and it cuts to the same set of podcasters tracking down Jamie Lee Curtis.
What's her character? Is it Lori Strud?
Yes.
Something like that?
Something okay. like that.
I probably Stroud, murdered that
Strud.
pun murdered. Not intended.
Who, in the years since...
In the last 40 years,
We find out that she does have a somewhat of a family. She has a daughter.
And a granddaughter.
But right. she's also become a hermit. And she's so paranoid that she's built herself kind of a...
Little compound
out in the woods. Mm-hmm. And the state didn't necessarily approve of the way she was raising her kids. So
her daughter
kid got
away.
Taken away.
Yeah.
You know, and again, this is 40 years later. So her kid has moved on and, you know, has a child of her own.
Has some mommy
and
issues.
Come into play.
Also
has some mommy issues.
Has some mommy issues that she was, you know, learned to shoot by the age
yeah,
of
she
six.
She learned to shoot a gun when she was 6 years old, which, you know,
that's
my kids.
But, whatever.
But
was America. Trained. Yeah. Was trained to. Fight and
yeah.
was trained to survive.
And certainly referred to her home as a prison.
Yes.
Or
she's
a cage.
She is a, you know, not a prisoner of her own house, but she, you know,
yeah.
she feels secure in this house and she's out shooting guns,
it's
all
well
different
fortified.
Kinds of guns.
She's
right.
well trained. Basically, her thoughts are that Michael will escape again.
Yes.
And that when he does, he's going to come for her.
And she will be ready.
And she's going to be ready for that.
Right.
In fact, she's actually almost...
She's been hoping for
oddly excited
it.
About it. Like, she wants it to happen.
Yeah.
Because she really, really wants to kill Michael Myers.
Yeah, she really wants to move on with her life. And
yeah, that's what she needs to achieve closure.
Right, and her daughter, you know, she's trying to have somewhat of a relationship with her daughter and granddaughter, and mm-hmm. her daughter is not very nice to her.
Well...
They're kind of, you know, giving her a hard time about, you need to move on with your life. It wasn't really
well,
that big a deal.
Her daughter's a therapist.
Right. It wasn't really that big a deal. And then I got the hint sometimes and that it was, you know, the town folk... if you will, were kind of saying how it was all fake. It didn't really...
Not that it was fake, but that she
it was two separate
blew it out of
right.
proportion, so to speak. And hey, you know, if they've never been the victim of
right.
an attempted murder by Michael Myers...
Don't say anything.
Yeah, how about you shut your mouth and move on with your life?
Right.
Right. But she goes full hermit, and these podcasters are trying to interview them, and that does not go well.
No, it finally resorts to, we'll pay you $3,000, and
yeah.
she gives them about 2 minutes of time.
And then collects.
Because they also try to instigate her.
Yeah.
They try to poke the other bear, because, as they've tried to say, there's two monsters that have
yes,
been created out of this.
Yes, a monster has created a monster.
Right. So, you know, and they give her... They start poking the bear, saying, well, your kid was taken away. You don't have any relationship with your family. Look at you, kind of thing. And she grabs her money and tells him, get off my land.
Get off my land. You know, from there, there's some relatively innate plot points that ensue. And then guess what?
Yes.
Michael Myers is being transported.
Yes.
The night before Halloween, at
on
the 30th of October, and his bus is leaving at midnight from his asylum
to an
actual prison.
They're
going to bring him to an actual prison. And
where he will spend the rest of his days,
yeah.
and they won't be able to study him anymore.
Yeah.
And
his doctor at his asylum is very... upset about this, which leaves open some theories about what happens next, because really the next thing we see is a father and son coming up on a, oh my goodness, right. crashed bus.
Right. Well, let's back up for half a second, because I liked what they did in the truck. It was a subtle little thing about father and son that they're going hunting.
They were going hunting,
and that kid, he wanted to go to
dance class.
He wanted a footloose, and he just wanted to dance.
He just wanted to dance.
He's like, Dad, why don't you just let me be me? You know, we can do this on the weekends. I didn't get to go to dance class.
His dad had the typical kind of backwoods father response. It was like, you need to hunt, son.
Right.
You don't need to dance.
And they come around the corner, and there is a crash bus.
In the fog,
and inmates walking
just
aimlessly like sheep, like cattle.
And so they do the reasonable thing.
What any sensible person does
when you see a bunch of people walking around in white uniforms,
right.
you get out of the truck.
Yeah, he's going to be like, son, you stay here.
You stay here.
You call the cops. I'm going to go check this out.
Yeah. Smart.
You hit the gas and you keep going.
I'll call the cops on my way away from here. Right. That's what I'm going to do.
Right. So, yeah, he gets out and checks, and the, you know, I'm going to guess 12-year-old boy that just wants to dance.
He just wants to dance. he gets one good shot off at Michael, and then, of course.
Well, no, he doesn't.
Well, he tries.
Well, the tiny dancer himself decides that it's a good idea because the dispatcher tells him to go check things out. So Tiny Dancer gets like, you know what? I got my little rifle, my little .22. Something.
Hey, that was a 30-30, son.
Was it? Okay. He decides to get out of the truck after his dad told him not to.
Yeah.
And goes, I'm just going to go check things out.
Better check things out on my own.
Starts walking over, and there's one of the officers kind of almost mortally wounded.
Yeah.
You know, on the side of the road that tells the kid to run. He doesn't.
Why follow perfectly sound instructions from a law enforcement?
You know, it's like, you know what?
I'm gonna walk through this fog and
I'm gonna get on the bus.
I'm gonna go check out that bus.
I think I need to go see what's going on in this bus over here.
Yeah. And so, that's where we yet again meet Michael's doctor
that pops up as you do. When there's, you know, murderers around and people that want to hurt you, you spring up from behind a seat and rightly so, homeboy got shot. Got shot by the tiny dancer.
Yeah.
Tiny dancer popped him in the shoulder. So then he runs.
What a flesh wound.
Then he runs and gets back in the car, which ends up not so well for the 12-year-old boy, which was not one of my favorite scenes.
No, it's never, you know, I didn't look away at any point in the movie other than this particular moment. I don't feel like I should have to say this, but
right.
I really don't enjoy scenes of violence toward children.
There was two scenes, and I think you know the other one, that I thought something was going to happen, and it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get there in a minute, but I was not liking that moment.
Yeah.
But
one scene here in the entire movie
where
that made me actually look away. I'm not, because again, I don't like violence toward children. I'm not an ultra sensitive dude, but
it's not good.
I am a father and it gets under my skin. I can't watch it.
Right. It wasn't good. It was kind of for me, it wasn't really necessary. You could have just cut away and whatever.
But we know what's happening.
Right. We can just kind of move along.
We can infer that for ourselves.
And then it cuts the scene of the dad that was on the other side of the bus, and he had had his neck broken, and he was done. So
toast.
Michael Myers is on the loose in Tiny Dancer and Dad's truck. Cut to the gas station.
The gas station. I think for me, because I kind of knew exactly what was going to happen when they pulled up on that scene of a wrecked bus.
Right.
For me, the gas station scene was probably the best scene in the aspect of a horror movie scene. I liked it more because it was the first real good one, you know, where there's a lot more tension involved. And after that initial hit, then you... or at least I, became a touch desensitized for the rest of the film because it was just like, all right, and now set a good pace for what the rest of the movie was going to be. So for me, that
it was a good scene.
Yeah,
there's some things about it that I'm like, the people involved should have just kind of been a little bit more aware of, hey,
okay, this is a scary movie.
Right.
No one's aware of anything.
I know. It's just
this followed for anyone who's familiar with the Scream franchise, where they clearly spell out the formula for scary movies.
Right.
This one hits them all.
Right.
Oh, you know, it started the whole thing.
Right. So the gas station scene, it cuts to the journalistic podcasters
getting gas,
the same from the beginning of the movie.
Yep.
And from, you know, they decided this to poke the bear.
Last time we have to put up with those two.
I know. So the female journalist decides to, you know, has to go to the bathroom. So she goes in to talk to the attendant.
The gas station attendant, yeah.
As the male journalist is filling up with gas.
Very progressive, if you ask me.
No, women can do anything a man can do. No, it was being a gentleman. But it was in the background as she is asking for the bathroom key or whatever that you see.
Yeah,
a large man in a white prisoner uniform beating the mechanic to death.
Yeah.
And she goes into the bathroom, you know, and I will agree with you that you become desensitized because, you know, what's more vulnerable than when you're on the can?
Yeah. And I think that actually this is probably the most brutal scene in the film.
First of all,
it's the only one that happens during the daylight.
I would agree.
Yes. You know, so that's always, you know, daylight, I think, subconsciously makes us feel safe, mm-hmm. you know, as we're darkness, we all feel a little bit more vulnerable walking down a dark street than we would feel walking down that same street in the middle of the day.
Right.
And so I think that had something to do with it as well. But listen, it doesn't turn out well for anybody.
No, it was as she's going to the bathroom, it cuts to the cashier, whatever she was just talking to, and his whole jaw ripped off. Michael Myers walks into the bathroom and is slowly opening all the stall doors.
Trying to find, because he knows somebody.
He knows she's in there. Yeah, he knows she's
in there. Somehow he can sense their presence and knows that they pissed him off earlier.
Right.
And
so he's, you know, she starts getting scared and starts crawling on the floor, which I can't help but just go, yeah.
Yeah, but listen,
I
have to crawl on the floor of a gas station bathroom versus getting what is almost certainly brutally murdered, I'm going to take that chance.
Oh, I agree. The problem I run into is I'm a gentle giant, sir.
It's
me,
true.
Me trying to crawl in there, I mean, it's going to take me a long time to get my lanky legs.
I'm not exactly through slim all the and trim myself. I don't know that I fit under a bathroom stall door.
Right. So
I'm going to have to stand and fight.
Right. It's one of those things I'm like, listen, he's just going to, you know, I'm going to be all the way at the end of the third stall and my legs are still going to be in that first stall.
He's going to have ankle to grab.
So it's like, do I stand and fight, you know, go out with a bang, so to speak, or, you know, do I get dragged along the dirty floor? And
I'd love to say that in that scenario, I would just stand and fight.
I'd probably be crawling on the floor.
Know that if it really, if the chips were down and it's just me and some crazy person in a bathroom, I'm going to run.
Right.
If I have an opportunity.
I hear you. So yeah, it was just one of those things. And then the, you know, male journalist kind of sees what's going on. And because he sees the mechanic and the cashier brutally murdered.
He's like, oh, snap.
Yeah. He goes, oh, I better go into the women's room and find out what's going on.
Well, he knows it's where his partner is. And he's like, oh, no.
And he gets the first lick as he's trying to save the female. He gets brutally murdered right before she gets brutally murdered. Which, you know, cues him reaching into the trunk of their car,
And finding his mask.
And getting his mask back.
That's right.
Hence what I like to say, starting of Halloween night.
Yes, you know, and so the rest of the film takes place on Halloween night and is pretty predictable and again, formulaic from that point until we hit the third act.
Right. I think there was one line dropped that I think
so many what I enjoyed is there are so many really cool Easter eggs.
Right.
That if you're familiar enough with the original content, it really kind of
a little nod to.
Yeah, there was some cool nods to the original film.
Okay.
But
I think what
and Halloween 2 as well.
Right, and again, not knowing it as much, I think one of the cool thing is the sheriff?
Uh-huh.
The sheriff, it's kind of an older guy, but he was the officer that was...
He was one of the officers.
That showed up first. That particular
officer was never seen on screen.
Right.
In Halloween 1.
But he was the first one on scene to arrest or whatever, take
a stab,
right?
Pun intended.
Nice
at Mr. Myers here,
right? But ended up arresting him, and he's kind of lived in a regret that he should have just ended him. But they are in the hospital because they, you know, the police force has rounded up all the other patients from the bus,
mm-hmm.
and kind of wait a minute, this one name on here, it's Michael Myers.
Oh no!
And then the other deputy or whatever drops a line that you and I think kind of gave each other a look like, really? Which was, oh, I'm sure, you know, they're kind of talking about, oh, he's going to be going for Lori, you know, whatever. And the other guy before walking away says, well, what are we going to do? Cancel Halloween?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what you do. There was so many great, like, kind of cheesy one-liners in this film,
yeah,
that really, I feel like they did a really good service by paying an homage to those old, late 70s, early 80s horror movies where everything, I mean, it was just covered in cheese.
Right, but this, and it's my right favorite. Right before he walked away.
Yeah, he's like, what are you going to do? Cancel Halloween?
Yeah. I walked away. Yeah.
Yeah.
As a parent, I'm okay with that.
Get the entire town together. Get you all in the high school gym. It's a small town. Y'all can fit. Lock down the doors and wait till sunrise, man.
Yeah.
Everyone walks out alive.
Yeah, it's good.
Put a couple snipers on the roof.
Everyone's
problem solved.
Let's lock this place down.
Yeah.
Halloween cancel.
We can do this again some other time. Yeah,
next weekend. Guess what?
Maybe even tomorrow, maybe.
Yeah. We're just going to put a pin in this just because we have a loose...
Push pause on Halloween, and we're going to move on to a different day.
Small thing. We just got a serial killer walking the streets.
Yeah.
Small, little thing. Not a big deal. Don't panic. But let's go ahead and cancel Halloween. Hope that's okay.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. As a parent, I'm okay with it.
Yeah. I would keep my children home for that.
Right. Just let me know.
It's perfectly reasonable.
Just let me know.
My favorite little one-liner was when Mr. Deputy finally meets up with Jamie Lee Curtis. So, you know, we kind of fast forward. Now he's back to babysitter killing. He's back to housewife killing. He just walks into people's houses and...
Right. This was a weird... Do you remember that old Nintendo game Paperboy?
Yeah. Yeah. That was what this movie was.
It was just a 2018. Just it was a 2018 version of Paperboy, except instead walked of delivering newspapers, right. And the other scene that I was kind of referring to earlier is he walks into this garage, grabs a hammer, and then just walks into the house. And there's a housewife, a mom that's sitting there. Well, as you find out, a mom.
Yeah.
And kills her, and then starts walking through the house as you can hear the baby crying.
Yeah, that was the other one. I was like, dang it.
And I was like,
but
come on. And I was like, don't do it.
In true horror movie fashion,
nothing Michael happens Meyer to the baby.
Plays by the rules, and it's demonstrated two separate times in the film.
Okay.
Okay. The first was here.
Okay.
Where he's walking through the house, there's a baby crying, and he just walks right past.
Right.
Because the killer can always sense innocence.
Okay.
And so typically children aren't harmed.
Right.
Unless you try and shoot at him.
Right.
Which is the mistake that Tiny Dancer made.
Tiny Dancer.
That was his mistake. And so that's what it is.
Right.
And then the second time is as he is attacking the babysitter and her boyfriend, who are obviously heathens.
Right.
Because they're smoking the devil's lettuce and making out on the couch while mom and dad aren't home. Well, guess what? They both end up dead, and the baby, who they're babysitting, is not a baby. He's probably eight.
Right. He's got a mouth on that kid.
He does. He had an attitude. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, it added some levity, but I will...
But he walked away unharmed.
Right. I will own up to the fact there was one moment where I jumped. I called myself out. I said it right. I owned it. But it wasn't a Michael Myers
incident. No.
It was, as the kids are calling it nowadays, a jump scare, so to speak, where it's kind of a quiet moment. You know something's about to happen.
And then it does, and you jump
anyway.
And
then it's the boyfriend showing up to visit his girlfriend, who's the babysitter.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, hey. Okay.
And she's like, huh.
And you're like, okay, that was my only jump scare. So as far as everything else, it was pretty predictable where he was going to show up. But he just went from house to house to house down the block.
Doing the Michael Myers thing. So
killing a lot more than five people.
Oh, yeah. He went to town. I tried to start keeping track, and I couldn't. But there was the scene that you had mentioned earlier when he walks into the house before he... This is his first... after the gas station.
Right.
But on Halloween night, his first kill is a housewife in a bathrobe and curlers making a sandwich.
Right.
Slicing up the bread and slicing up the meat like you do if you don't buy pre-sliced bread and meat.
On Halloween night when there's trick-or-treaters outside. Yeah.
But this was a great throwback, again, to the original film because... Go back and watch it. How does Michael acquire his signature butcher's knife?
Okay.
He goes into a home, takes out a lady who is also cutting ham on a cutting board.
Ah, see.
And that's where he gets his signature knife from. So again, it was a kind of a nice throwback to that.
See, and I didn't catch that because of, you know, my lack of Halloween knowledge.
Yeah. And that's fine. But so to me, I thought that was a fun little throwback to it.
Right.
I was
trying to understand this. I mean, again, it's Michael Myers and he just goes around killing people, but
doing Michael Myers stuff.
He literally went from that house, walked out,
went
next door.
Not a good night to be home.
Yeah. Killed that lady. Went to the next house. Did that until he reached the one where the granddaughter's friend, who was the babysitter, was babysitting the kid, whatever, and killed her and the boyfriend. Kid got away, and little Mouthy got away. I don't know what happened. I hope he's okay.
I mean,
he just ran out into the night. I mean, just a bad night to kind of go out on your own.
Michael Myers is not extremely fast moving. I think the best place you can be is in wide open space. You can see him coming. You can get away.
Right. I think one of
I could probably outrun Michael Myers.
One of the things that got me...
My cardio ain't exactly, like, top-notch.
Mine either, but we'll sit there and talk about it. The one person that I wanted taken out by Michael Myers didn't. The boyfriend. The
dirty boyfriend. Yeah, yeah. The cheating boyfriend.
The cheating boyfriend of the granddaughter, of Lori's
granddaughter.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed. They went to a school dance... And she left for a minute to answer a phone call, came back, and he's kissing another...
He's a little on the sauce, and he's kissing some other chick. That guy was a dirtbag.
And then he gets mad at her, like, you didn't see nothing.
Totally gaslighting this poor girl, like, you didn't see anything.
You didn't
see... She's like, yeah, I did.
Then takes her phone and throws it in the nacho cheese.
Was it pudding or nacho cheese? I don't know. It was an odd place to throw a phone.
I was thinking of a high school dance. I'm guessing there's not a vat of pudding. But
is there a vat of nacho cheese at said high school dance?
Listen, we're going between the two. I'm guessing there's more likely to be nachos than a thing of pudding.
Than pudding? You're probably not wrong. I mean...
It was some kind of creamy substance.
Gelatinous stuff in a bowl.
Right, where it kind of slowly sinks and...
Yeah, but then, so again, it's pretty formulaic through here until we get to the third act, right? Where everyone has been evacuated to Jamie Lee Curtis's fortress in the woods,
the
except
family.
For...
The family.
Yeah, yes. The family, except for the granddaughter who's still running for her life.
Because, and I was going to jump to this, because after she gets mad at boyfriend's best friend decides it's a fantastic opportunity
to put some moves down,
to escort her home and lay some game.
While taking a shortcut.
Great night to be like, I know a shortcut. Through, you know, somebody's...
Through someone's yard that just happens to require us jumping a wrought iron fence.
Right.
If you don't think really that's tall. Going through somebody like a needle.
Right. It takes one little move and you're, you know,
you're done.
You're done.
You're at the game, kid.
So as they get into some guy's backyard that has motion sensor lights, he decides it's a good idea to try and kiss her, which does not go over well. And luckily it stops there and he's, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. She leaves. And then as the floodlights are coming on and off.
Because he's sitting there.
Guess who's in the backyard ready to
take out. Some more havoc.
Michael Myers himself. Which is where the granddaughter first, as she comes
back.
That's
where she finally sees him because she hears her...
whatever. Friend.
Her... I don't know. Her potential suitor.
Attacker.
Yeah.
Comes back and he has been brutally murdered and she comes face to face with Michael Myers.
Which again, where the movie proves my point that the safest place to be when you're dealing with Michael Myers is with him in plain sight, out in the open.
I agree with that. I agree. So he's on it. So she starts running, gets some help, or, you know, goes to a house. They call the sheriff who has found the doctor.
The doctor.
The doctor off the bus. The doctor.
This guy is overly committed to his work.
Really fascinated. Keeps on telling the deputy, don't kill him.
He tries to remind him several times that Michael Myers is the property of the state and that he's not to be harmed.
Right. We are not to harm him. And that deputy.
Which no one
agrees with. The sheriff kind of is like, yeah, we'll see about
cool
that.
Cool story, bro.
Yeah. So... they find him kind of out and about and run him over with the car. As the sheriff and
he
doctor...
He starts to try and do the right thing, which is to double tap Michael Myers.
Right. Then we're going... They get out to check him and the doctor goes... The movie goes sideways.
It does. Takes a little twist.
Doctor kills the sheriff.
Cuts his throat. And then puts on Michael's mask.
And then I was like, this movie just took a turn and I'm in.
I was like, it got a little weird here for a second.
Michael Myers is dead, but continues.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, he is,
but as we
kind of have has a love for Michael Myers and wants to know what it's like to kill.
Yeah. And he's like, that does feel good.
Yeah.
Which was creepy.
Right. Which was creepy. And spoiler alert, Michael's not actually dead. He was, the doctor, you know, checks his pulse. Yeah, checks his pulse, and he's like, he's dead. You killed him.
Clearly a ruse so that he could kill the cop.
And he wants to now put him and Lori together to see Michael in the wild.
Yeah, and he wants to see how it goes down.
Yeah. So Michael wakes up, doesn't really like that, and boot stomps him.
Yeah. Bad choice, doctor. Bad choice.
Yeah.
Right down the street, though, from
Lori's house.
From Lori's fortress in the woods.
And so, it doesn't make it. And granddaughter escapes out of the police car and goes running through the forest, ends up getting to the house okay.
Yeah, which, again, in classic horror film fashion, hey, I can see a house over there.
Right.
With the porch lights on.
Turns out to be...
I'm going to run through the woods instead.
Right.
Right?
There's a straight line.
I'm right here. There's the front door. I'm going to run upstairs.
Yeah, I'm going to go the back way.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go run it through the forest. So she ends up getting there slowly, but you know, she takes the long way.
Yeah.
But she gets there okay as Michael kind of sneaks his way in through using the cop car to get let in by
the uniform patrol that's guarding the driveway.
Right. And they let it in. Well, and then also the Lori's son-in-law. Yeah. Son-in-law goes up to the car to talk to the officers.
Guess what?
Doesn't end well for
him. That ends badly as well.
Because Michael has laid a trap, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And used those cop cars to his advantage to get into the compound. And decides to kind of start going through the house.
He's got to get it at Jamie Lee Curtis, man.
Right. So he keeps on trying to get at her. But she has the fortified house.
This thing's dope.
Yeah.
This reminded me of, oh man, I was saying it yesterday and it's escaping me. It'll come back to me though. Oh, John Wick.
Yes.
John Wick. The first thing that comes to mind, like she's got this cool, like, it's like this old garage door opener thing that just says the garden on it. Right. And she clicks that and like the island, the kitchen swings out the way and you go down to this like fortified basement
guns
that she's got. And the first thing that came to my mind was Jamie Lee Curtis in John Wick 3.
Yeah, John Wick 3.
You know, and it was she's it
would've been good.
She's ready.
Yeah, she's ready. This is what she's been dreaming of the last 40 years.
Praying so, for.
Praying in for. Fact, she says that to
which them. Brings me back to my favorite one-liner from the entire movie. I didn't get to mention it earlier, but when she's talking to the sheriff, and mm-hmm. she's like, I've been praying for him to escape so yes. I can kill him. He goes, that's a stupid thing to pray for.
Yeah.
And it was just...
That was a really good
one. It was supposed
one-liner.
To be like a dramatic line, it felt like, but it totally wasn't.
Right.
And then we get into the final battle between good and evil, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's so much fun to watch, actually.
And speaking from a tactical standpoint... She knows how to clear some
rooms.
She
clears a room better than the cops do.
She gets her daughter and, well, later the granddaughter gets down into the fortified basement. And she's like, it's time to end this. She goes back up to the main house and starts clearing some rooms.
Like a pro.
And after she's done clearing a room is one of the coolest things that I've ever seen. She hits a button next to every single door. And metal bars.
Yeah, like the stores down. In the mall. You know, they got those metal roll down doors. Yeah,
just drop down. That it's like, and as you're like, oh my gosh, you know, she's like, I've checked that room, I've checked that, and she's going from room to room,
boom,
checking them, hitting the button, checking them, hitting the button. But Michael still has his little tricks up his sleeve and gets, you know.
Almost gets the upper hand on her a couple of times.
Gets a, you know, throws her at the window. Whatever. I think he stabbed her.
He kind of wings her and then tosses her out the window.
And then starts going
makes the mistake thinking that she is dead.
Right.
Only to find out
she
ain't dead.
So one of the coolest scenes of this movie is about to happen for me.
Okay.
And so Michael goes, hey, I'm going to go down and get the daughter and granddaughter that he figures out that they're underneath this island. So he starts breaking it,
mm-hmm.
whatever, gets it open. And the daughter, played by America's sweetheart, Judy Greer.
Okay. All right. I'll give it to you.
Judy Greer. She's got it.
She's America's mom.
She's got the gun kind of pointed at the stairs and starts crying and, oh my God, Mom, I can't do it because, you know, he broke off the thing, but you can't see him.
Yeah.
He's hiding behind the thing. She's like, oh my gosh, Mom, I can't do it. I'm so sorry. I can't do it. Like she's not going to be able to shoot him. So he decides to step out because whatever. Oh, trick or treat.
Got him.
This is the trick part. She's like, I think she even say, gotcha.
Yeah.
And gets real.
Yeah.
And pops him.
Takes a chunk out of the side of his dome.
And pops him. And then Jamie Lee Curtis is actually standing behind him and shoves him or something.
Shoves him down the stairs.
Which didn't make sense at the time.
It didn't. But then it did.
But then it made a whole lot of sense because daughter, granddaughter,
get up those stairs. They're back on the main level of the house. Pull yet another lever, sealing Michael Myers into the fortress basement.
Into the cellar.
Yeah.
And
that's when the daughter finally realizes. And then she turns a little knob and you start seeing little
traps.
Gas spouts.
Right.
Start going off, and the daughter then has that epiphany moment.
This wasn't
a cage.
Yeah.
It was a trap.
Yeah. That she has spent 40 years setting this trap.
Knowing that Michael Myers would come for her at her home.
So all
if
these,
he ever got out.
So all, as she's, you know, searching these rooms
who's
and everything.
Crazy now?
Yeah. As she was searching all those rooms and then dropping those bars in, that was to lock him into that room, not to kind of go, oh, okay, we've searched that one, you know.
Yep.
It wasn't her covering her tracks. That was, okay, I'm locking you in these rooms. This is what we're doing.
Yeah.
And then they leave and the house blows up.
Lights on fire.
Yeah.
All the natural gas is being filling the house. They set, you know, there's some igniters that go off. And then boom, boom, boom.
Right. House blows up and they're kind of able to...
Key plot point that we haven't discussed yet, though.
Yeah.
Is that granddaughter has grabbed a knife oddly similar to Michael Myers' signature...
Might have been the same.
...weapon. I don't know if it was his or if it was one of her grandmother's, but she grabs it. She even takes a few swipes at him, gets a couple of jabs into Michael Myers in the exchange.
As he's trying
there.
To climb up the stairs.
Yeah. But as the camera fades,
they're
you notice
escaping.
That she never
let go of the knife.
Let go of the knife. And then the other thing is, and again, I can only imagine this is just to leave things open to either interpretation or sequels.
Mm-hmm.
You don't ever see what really happens to Michael Myers. We don't really know.
Correct.
And, you know, so that, but that, that's kind of the fun of this stuff, though.
Right, exactly. Because
they never closed the book.
Right. Yeah, it's always kind of, maybe, I don't know, you never know.
We don't know. Maybe granddaughter now has a little taste for blood.
Yeah, she's a little crazy now.
Yeah.
You know,
who knows?
She got broken up with, she got cheated on, some guy tried to assault her.
And then some dude tried to kill her.
Yeah. So
right?
she's had a rough night.
Yeah. Not in her top five nights of all time by a long shot.
Right. They're getting a ride into town in the back of a truck and she's holding on to the knife. But I think we and I both agreed from just a tactical standpoint, just double check he's dead.
If you're going to kill somebody, kill him.
Because a lot of things happened to him over the course of this movie.
Dude was shot in the head at least twice in this film.
Got run over by a car. Got shot, when he was first trying to get in the house.
Blew his hand off. He's missing his left hand.
Doesn't even faze him.
No.
So
he keeps going.
Boy's on some bath salts or something because he's not
Michael Myers, Florida man.
He has got some PCP in his system. He's not feeling any pain. You know, he's got a whole lot of issues going on because he just keeps going. He got hit by a car, got his hand blown off.
The Energizer Bunny.
Just keeps going.
Keeps going.
He's got a mission.
And going and going.
He's got a mission.
Yep.
And so then it kind of fades to black and credits.
Credits. And so like good comic book movie fans that we are,
right?
We have been conditioned to
sit
through the credits. First of all, those people work really hard. They deserve us to see their name.
Our respect.
Right? So I'll sit through the credits. But we're also, of course, waiting for a post-credit scene because we've been conditioned to do that, right?
Right. Then maybe the granddaughter's looking at herself in the mirror and it's the knife.
So I picked up on something that I didn't mention to you yesterday.
Okay.
Because I just wanted to spring it on you here.
Well,
there wasn't a post-credit scene per se. But if you were listening,
uh-huh.
What you did hear as the music fade was Michael Myers' signature breathing.
Correct.
So.
That is not the first time that this trick has been used.
No, it's not.
I'll drop some Star Wars knowledge.
Oh, for sure.
at the end of episode one.
But I know that this is not your
right.
Your no, but I did notice it. So I wasn't sure if you noticed it.
No, I
but
did.
I know
notice.
We sat there waiting and hoping for a post credit scene,
and there was not one.
And there wasn't one.
No.
So, but it's all good.
I mean, I have to kind of give it, talking about credits, one of the things, because we haven't mentioned it yet. This was co-written by someone I'm a fan of, being Danny McBride.
Yeah, it's
Kenny Powers himself.
Yeah, it was partially or in some way produced by Rough House Pictures, which is his new production house. So yeah, shout out to Mr. McBride. I feel like he did a pretty good job.
Right.
Of making something. Did it fit into the Halloween canon? Not necessarily.
Right.
But
it was
it a
what
good
it was.
Supplement? Was it a good extension of the original film?
Right.
I say so.
Right.
So
I enjoyed it, and I guess that, you know, kind of segueing into our
rating system.
Our rating system. So I was intrigued by this one because we were looking at it through two different lenses, so to speak.
Yeah.
You were more of the
I like scary movies.
Yeah, the scary movie horror genre, and I'm like, you know, I wasn't screaming by any means,
no.
But it was, yeah, it was.
So I'll say this for the sake of seasonality.
Right.
Okay. My personal rating is if you like scary movies,
mm-hmm.
go see it.
Right.
If you're just more of a passive fan like you are, I wouldn't say necessarily you need to run out to the theater and go see it before next Wednesday.
Right.
But wait to rent it until next year. It'll hit Redbox again. They'll refresh the system. They always do with movies like this. It may even be available on streaming services, but hit it up on at least rent the movie. I think you should see it if you like scary movies at all.
Right, exactly. And kind of, I'm almost exactly my answer on it is,
yeah.
If you like scary movies,
go see it.
Go see it.
If you don't, maybe rent it or stream it.
Yeah,
it really doesn't matter at that point.
Right.
Because it's just going to be in the collection of other scary movies.
Yeah, me, I've said, like, I saw it. I don't really need to go out of my way to go see it again.
Yeah.
I saw it. I'm good. I'm not a huge scary movie person. So, you know, rent it if you're not. You know, if you're just intrigued by it and have been listening and seeing this intrigued by it.
Go check it out. You won't be disappointed. If you like scary movies at all, I think you'll enjoy it. If you're a super fan of the Halloween films, just understand that it's a different thing.
Right.
It's not in the timeline of the first six Halloween films. It's Halloween 2.
Right.
Just told in a different way. And that's all there is to it. So.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, see it or rent it, depending on your interest.
I think we've talked long enough.
Yeah. So kind of wrapping that one up and more
join
stuff
us
coming.
Next week where we talk about scary movies for our Halloween special. And we really appreciate you guys watching and listening. Stay tuned. And if you feel so inclined, go check out Tucker and the Beard on Facebook. And that's the word Tucker, an ampersand. And then the Beard. So find that on Facebook. Like us. Follow us there. And you'll see all of our crazy adventures.
Yeah.
So until next time, he's Tucker.
He's Beard.
And we will see you later.
All right. Bye.